Well, I wished I could have found it. I couldn't find it. But not too long ago, we got a video from one of our grandsons. I can't remember whether it was Grayson or Ollie. The old joke, why did the chicken cross the road? That was Ollie. I couldn't find it. If I had found it, I would have shared it with you today. But for him, it's always fun. The new, you know, the younger generations that are learning these fun jokes. Of course, his was the traditional answer, why did the chicken cross the road? To get the other side. I think my favorite answer is still to get away from Colonel Sanders. But, you know, one of those things that it's kind of that why question. And looking at with our annual business meeting today, we've had a focus, talked about our goals through Kingdom Builders, which again, it's the program that we have adopted to help us express our generosity through our regular monthly support of the missionaries that we support and a couple institutions. So they're one of our Bible colleges. And then projects that we want to take on this year. And so we've talked about that. But, you know, it kind of hit me, and especially with being a family worship day, that sometimes we don't necessarily do as good a job as we probably should on teaching our kids why. Or maybe even newer believers, why missions? Why trying to build the kingdom through generosity in support of missions and that? You know, the chicken crosses the road to get to the other side. Why do we go? Why do we pray? Why do we give when it comes to missions? You know, we ask why things happen all the time. Why do the Chiefs not kick a field goal at the end of the first half instead of calling the ill-fated play that ended the half without points? If you're a Chiefs fan, you're asking that question. Why does an open-faced peanut butter sandwich always fall face down when you drop it? There's probably some physics there, the weight of the peanut, but anyway, you know, but it always, you know, that sort of thing. Why aren't Pastor Rich's jokes funny? I get that one a lot. Yeah, get that one a lot. But today I want us to direct our attention to the question, why missions? And it goes deeper than this, but I want to just cover three basic things today. First is the belief that Jesus died for everyone so they could experience new life through faith in him. That's what we believe, that Jesus died for everyone. That's what the scriptures teach, so that all have that opportunity to experience new life through faith in him. Secondly, Jesus commanded it. We call it the Great Commission. And we're going to look at that. Jesus came and he said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He commanded us to go with the message. And three, the belief that heaven and hell are real. Here in these last few years, there's been a lot of discussion. Again, it comes up every so often, but a book written about how, you know, a loving God would never send anyone to hell and that hell really isn't real. And I don't know how you can teach that scripturally. And that goes back to our worldview, that we believe the scripture is the inspired word of God and is the final authority for our faith and conduct. And scripture teaches that heaven and hell are real, and we believe that. And that's part of what motivates us for missions. And just on a very personal note, and I don't want this to come off holier now because it's not. It's just sometimes, you know, I look around and I see what's happening in other people who don't know the Lord. Or people maybe who, yeah, they say, well, I believe there's a God or I believe in Jesus, but it doesn't go any further past just kind of a, oh yeah, I'm saying this, you know, it's like I believe the sun's going to rise up in the morning. But it doesn't impact their life. There's not a true life-changing faith there. And I wonder, would that have been me? Would that have been me if God had not been gracious enough to send somebody into my life that shared the story of Jesus with me? That's, to me, is the bottom line for missions. It's why I need to be telling others, God sent somebody to me. God used me to be that somebody in somebody else's life. Because everyone needs that opportunity. Well, let's go back and look at number one. Jesus died for everyone so they can experience new life through faith in him. And just an FYI, I'm not quite sure why I did it this way this week, but let me encourage you, open your Bibles, have your Bible app open. I didn't put up on the screen, prepare a slide for all the verses we're going to look at today. I think this is one of those 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Paul writing here, and he says this, beginning of verse 14, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ Jesus died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Hallelujah. It's the gift of God. And the Bible is clear here and so many other places that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And while sin brings misery and hurt and ultimately death, Jesus came that we might have life, that we can have a new life in him that is abundant and eternal, that we can again be restored to right relationship with God. The truth is, and I don't think we always recognize it, and sometimes I don't think people who haven't come to know the Lord yet recognize it, but I don't think God is done with anybody. I think God is working in people's lives, many times preparing them, many times he's so near to people because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, being made right with God starts to make a lot of things add up and line up in our lives. Where before, maybe we were wondering if there was purpose, if there was meaning to our lives. Why am I here? Why am I breathing? Why am I taking up space? Well, God knew us. He loved us. He knew us by name before we were born. He had a purpose and a plan for our lives. And when we come to find Jesus and we begin to realize this is what God has planned for me, this is why God allowed me to be born. So many people do not have hope, do not feel like there's any meaning to their life. They're just in survival mode, which is, we went to a training here, I think it was last weekend. And that was one of the things that talked about, why people act the way they do, how people tend to use other people as tools to get what they want because they're in survival mode. Because they have not yet come to find that purpose and meaning and life that comes through Jesus Christ. You know, in the song we sang, the House of the Lord, the bridge in that reminds us of how life changes through faith in Jesus. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Hallelujah. God did that for us. You know, my mind goes to other song that we sing, and maybe not as often as we used to, but John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's why missions, because we all were lost, all needed to be found. We were all blind, but now we get to see. Hallelujah. Second reason, Jesus commanded it. Again, the Great Commission. I don't believe I have a slide for this, but Matthew 28, 18 through 20. After his resurrection, before he ascended, he met with his disciples. Beginning at verse 18, we read this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them in the name of the Father and of those, or excuse me, let me try and read that again. I skipped a line there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That wasn't just for the early apostles. That is the commission that he's given to the church. That each of us is called to, in a sense, be a missionary. To be someone who shares the good news of Jesus with others. Now, that doesn't mean all of us have been called to head over to Africa. Amazing video there. BGMC dollars at work. I mean, we're going to have some fun with this. I know when I asked Lance and Brittany about this, it's kind of like, yes, we'll do this. And they're so excited. We came up with a lot of good ideas. I don't think they've finally... Have you all decided on one yet? Okay, I found out some things that they really don't like. That I didn't know about them before. But we'll do something fun. I found out coloring hair was not an option. Somebody's working way too hard to keep the color where they like it. Anyway, we'll let you know when we do that. But start in March, and then that last Sunday we'll have a lunch fellowship and rejoice and see what the final results of our giving is on that. But Jesus commanded us to go, to be someone who tells others about him so that they can put their faith in him. And, I mean, there are some, obviously, kingdom builders, missions are giving, that there are some that God, people that God will call to serve him by going to a foreign land, or maybe a place where they normally wouldn't live, or maybe a people group that they're not a part of, where they have to go and learn the language and learn the culture. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be overseas. I'm reading a book now, and it talks about in our 25 most populated cities in America that most of them, there are more minorities than there are what we would consider, how to say that in the right way, then there are people like us that are in this room today for the most part. Like the Los Angeles area is 75% minority and ethnics. There are more Cubans living in Miami than there are in Havana. The largest population of Armenians in the world is in a group of Armenians is in the city of Los Angeles. Asian Americans, those of Asian descent, in the last 20 years, their population has increased 107% in America. Hispanics, 53%, while the general population has grown 6%. God might call us to a people group where we don't have to go overseas. He may say, put it on our hearts, And some of our missionaries now, I know this is happening more and more, when they're getting to the place where they feel like maybe for health reasons or whatever, they don't serve overseas, many of them are coming back and settling in, like among the Filipino people or the Armenian, you know, people that they've worked with in their home countries to help reach them because they're here in America. For us, it might be the strange person may be the person who's living across the street from you. I mean, face it, there is a great cultural divide right now. Most of us in this room, it's kind of like, I'll tell myself here, when they announce the music awards and these people are up for Grammys or whatever they're supposed to be, and for top artist of the year, and they list off all these people, I'm going, well, I've maybe heard of like two or three of these. Or best movie of the year, and I've maybe heard of one of them. Well, why? Because that's not the music I listen to, those aren't the movies I watch, that's not part of my normal culture. And yet we're called to go and somehow reach these folks. And just as we may not be called to go overseas, but you think about in our own community, some of our neighbors, some of the people you work with, it might require us to learn a new language. It might be a form of English, but it's a language we don't know. To step into their world. Why? So that we can communicate the story of Jesus to them in a way they can understand that is a relevant presentation so that they have that opportunity to hear about Jesus because Jesus commanded us to go. Now, with the younger ones in mind, I found this video and I thought it was kind of good. How many of you had that fun question from your children, where do babies come from? Well, this is not that video. This video is, where do missionaries come from? Go ahead and play that for me, Gregory.
Where do missionaries come from? We have missionaries all over the world who spend their lives helping people know about Jesus. They're in Africa, Asia, Latin America, they're everywhere. We also have missionaries in European countries like France, Germany, and Holland. Most missionaries have to learn a new language so they can talk to the people in the countries they go to. Some missionaries go to faraway cold places like Russia, Mongolia, and Alaska. Or to beautiful warm islands like Fiji or Tonga. But where do missionaries come from? Most missionaries were kids just like you who listened to great stories of missionaries helping needy people around the world. Then God planted a seed of missions deep down in their hearts. That seed was a seed of compassion or caring. As these boys and girls got older, they learned more and more about missions. As they learned more about missions, the seed grew and grew. It grew into a heart of caring for people around the world. Then, God asked them if they would be willing to leave their home and spend their lives as missionaries. This is their missionary calling. It's the moment God says, "Will you go?" And the missionary says, "Yes, I'll go." Sometimes they'll know the place they'll go to because God tells them. He may have said Argentina, Cambodia, or Tanzania. Other times missionaries go where the need is the biggest. Once somebody decides to be a missionary, they have to get ready. They study and learn a whole lot about the Bible. They also start doing some kind of ministry, like in a church. Then the day comes when they begin to itinerate. I know, big word, huh? It just means they travel from church to church, asking people to pray for them and support them with money. Soon it's time for them to travel to the country God has called them to. Usually, they travel by plane to a place God needs them to tell people about Jesus. Some of them start schools, orphanages, or plant churches. Sometimes they feed people and provide clean water. But always, they tell people that Jesus died for their sin. Some kids grow up praying and giving to help our missionaries. Other kids not only pray and give, but they hear God's call and they go as missionaries somewhere in the world. So I guess we could say that, well, you are where missionaries come from.
Of course, the focus here is on those who perhaps go overseas or maybe to a specific group here in our own country. But the truth is God calls all of us to go and to share the good news. Wished I could say that was easy. But it's not, because so often we have to decide to invest ourselves in the lives of someone else to earn the right to be heard. You know, it's that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I mean, I see it happening. I see it happening in this church. By you folk, I see it happening, and that's wonderful. And we're praying that God will bring the increase from those things. I know the other day I was in a conversation, and my prayer is this, and I just have this sense in my heart that somewhere, somehow, all the seeds that have been sown by you people, by the people in this church, that God's going to bring the increase in that, and it's going to be somebody that is an influencer. We understand influencers in our society. And they're going to come to know the Lord, and their family's going to come in, and they're going to get saved, and they're going to get so excited about the Lord that all of a sudden we're going to see people coming in that we thought, well, okay, well, I've seen them. But these influencers, they're going to be going to their friends and saying, "Hey, you got to check this out. You got to hear what Jesus did." You know, they aren't going to invite people to come to church with them. They're going to say, "You're going to church with me this Sunday." And the next thing you know, it's like, "Okay, we need Sunday school teachers. We got to start midweek service to teach these new disciples what it means to be a follower of Jesus." Because God's going to use us. That's how it happens. Now, I am thankful for programs in our church such as BGMC. You know, it's kind of fun. You know, Hazel, thank you this morning for doing extra duty. Heard you were shaking somebody down a little bit earlier. Maybe that wasn't the case. But anyway, thanks. Thank you for doing that. And again, we're going to have some fun with BGMC. But I love BGMC because it's more than just the kids going around collecting money. And it's more than about getting money to put in a buddy barrel. It's kind of fun. Grayson's getting into that now. And from time to time, I forget where we were and something about the change. And he goes, "Can I have the change to put in my buddy barrel?" Absolutely. But it's more than about the giving. It's about learning to pray, teaching our kids to pray for the lost, and that people would take the message to them, and even that they can be ones that can go. And not just when they get older, but just like us, they can talk to their friends. Now, last year, the kids raised $464.49 for BGMC here in our church, which was great. And again, we've got the March Madness thing coming up, so I think we'll beat that number for next year and all that kind of stuff. You know, the Africa video reminded us of how children take part in missions through BGMC, and that the gospel is shared as BGMC supplies money for projects, clean water. I know in some places they help a family get started with a family business by buying, you know, goats or chickens or maybe a water buffalo, and that with the idea that as their herd or flock or gaggle? I don't know. Gaggle is geese, isn't it? But then as they help that family start a business, as God blesses them, that they help somebody else start a business. But as they do that, they're sharing the gospel. They're sharing the good news with others. Last year, I think, was the first year we introduced Speed the Light, at least in as far back as I can remember, in almost these 5 years. And $185 was given for Speed the Light last year from our church. And I praise the Lord for that. And again, it's more than just the money that's raised, but hopefully it's youth learning about being involved in missions. How they get to partner with missionaries who go by helping to supply vehicles and other equipment to missionaries to help them reach the lost for Jesus. Nationally, we had a great praise report. Last year, the Assemblies of God, our youth raised $1.7 million for Speed the Light. Let me move the decimal to where it should be. $17.3 million for Speed the Light. Our kids raised $10.3 million for BGMC. So our children, our youth last year in America through our churches raised $27.6 million. Praise God. And hopefully it's not just simply the money, but it's, again, instilling in our children, in our youth, the why for missions. Because Jesus commanded it, and the lost need it. Excuse me. The last reason for missions is we believe that heaven and hell are real. Now, there is a story of a young woman on a plane, hadn't been a Christian for very long, was on this flight and was reading her Bible, happened to be reading the story of Jonah that day, and businessman sitting next to her kind of struck up a conversation. He goes, "Oh, do you really believe that Jonah got swallowed by a fish?" And she goes, "Well, that's, you know, what I read in my Bible, and that's what my pastor says happened." And she goes, "I guess when I get to heaven, I can ask Jonah to see if that really happened." And the fellow says, "Well, what if Jonah's not there?" And she said, "Well, then you ask him." Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of one of them little sketchy stories, but it brings out the truth. And we don't talk about it as much as we used to, but we really do believe that there is a heaven and that there is a hell, that they are real. We read John 3:16. Now, it doesn't specifically speak of hell here, but it does bring out the reality of that heaven is real and that people do perish. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, a little later on in chapter 3, it says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son stands condemned." It's a hard thing to talk about. It really is. Because, I mean, we talk about it, and sometimes maybe a little too glibly, but the reality is there's heaven and there's hell. And everybody has that eternal destiny, one or the other. Now, that goes again. It battles the mindset of the world, what's being taught out there. So many people just think when you're dead, you're dead, and you're just gone. Because they deny the spiritual realm or deny that there is a God. There are others that think, well, if you just tried to be a good person, then everybody gets to go to the good place. Not what Scripture teaches. And it, again, it's our final authority for our faith and conduct. We read in Revelation chapter 20, the very end of the book, beginning at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The sky and the earth fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and hell and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, it's there. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 5, says this, And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he said also, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. And all who are victorious will inherit these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." See, there's good. While there is a finality and a truth to this, that we all have to give an account of ourselves to God, the day will come when we will stand before God, when we will stand before the Lord. And it's not our own righteousness that we claim, but we claim, "He died for me." One who knew no sin was offered up as a sin offering that we might be declared righteous before God through faith in Him. And I know it, to all who are thirsty, I will give freely of the springs of the water of life. We don't come to pay for salvation. We just simply receive it by faith. This is what God did for us because He loved us so much. He sent Jesus to die for us, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can enter into a new life, and that we can inherit that promise of eternal life forever in His presence, in a place that I think it's so hard to understand. Is it, at least for me, to imagine a place where there will be no more sorrow, no more sin, no more tears, no more death, to a place where everyone lives in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord because the power of sin is completely broken and cast away, where the will of God is done. As we pray, Jesus taught us to pray, "Lord, may Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," where everybody will love one another, truly love one another. All these things that we expect of in the world, you know. Well, I didn't lock my door and somebody stole something out of my car. Well, what do you expect? You know? Oh, I got scammed. I invested in something in Nigeria from an email I got. You still getting those? I haven't seen one of those for a while. This is a sinful, fallen, broken world, and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the sadness is most of the time we just don't recognize how fallen and broken we truly are, because it's so easy for us to justify our own sins. But unless we repent, which means to have a change of mind, which basically is this, we learn to say, "God's right. What God says is true. I believe what God tells us and reveals to us in His Word. I'm going to start thinking the way God thinks." And if we do that, then we're going to say, "God, I'm a sinner." And, you know, the beautiful thing is, it's not complicated. You don't have to go through a class. You don't have to become a member of this, a voting member of the church. Thanks for, by the way, for hanging around today for our business meeting. But you know, that's not what's going to get us to heaven. By accepting Jesus. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. The sad truth is most of us, so many people, even when they hear the truth, will reject it. But they need the chance to hear the truth. We are commanded to go with the truth, to do all we can. Because if you're here sitting as a believer today, somebody brought the truth to you. Somebody presented the message to you. If you were blessed, you grew up in a Christian home where at an early age you heard the gospel and gave your life to Jesus. I know some grew up in a Christian home and maybe rebelled as a teenager, but you found your way back. Praise God. For others, maybe later in life, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, you finally listened. You heard the good news and you said yes to Jesus. Why missions? Because we do have good news. That God is at work in our lives. He wants us to be His children. He wants us to be redeemed by His grace. He wants us to be in right standing with Him. And He wanted it so much, He sent Jesus to die for us. If you're under the sound of my voice today, I just ask you that simple question. Is there a reason why you shouldn't ask Jesus to be your Savior today if you've never done so before? If you think you have to clean your life up before you come to Jesus, you don't. Put your faith in Jesus. He'll make the change in your life. If that's you, you can pray in your own way, but maybe just a simple prayer, something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, that I am on the wrong way, but I know you loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me, that I can be forgiven and given new life. I put my faith in Jesus today and ask you to help me begin to live anew as a child of God. Amen. Now, it doesn't have to be those exact words, but just call out to the Lord. And He will forgive you and make you a child of God. And this morning I hope, and maybe this is a message for me, God, help us who have been found to remember that we need to do for others what you sent someone to do for us. And that, God, you would put it on our hearts to overcome our fears. Lord, overcome our timidity. And Jesus, to invest ourselves in the lives of those who are lost, earn that right to be able to sit down with them and say, have you considered Jesus? What He's done for you, what He wants to do for you. Because I have good news. He loves you and wants to change your life. Lord, I pray for those that you will send us to, that just trusting that you're going to be working in their hearts. Maybe it's that family member that we've had some discussions before, but Lord, you've been working in other ways through other people, and that this time their hearts are open and ready to hear and respond to you in the positive. Lord, maybe you'll put a burden on our heart for that neighbor that annoys us, that we're going to have to pray, Lord, help me get past my annoyance and see them as someone for whom you died. And to make that extra effort to reach out to them. Or maybe that coworker that, Lord, we've been planting seeds for a long time. Now they're ready to hear. Lord, help us to go as you've commanded us to go. Because you commanded it and you gave your life so that they could have, we could have newness of life. Hallelujah. 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 I want to end with just a song. It says, tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that he died for them, that he lives again, that by his mercy and grace, we can come to know him. Go ahead and start that video if you would, Gregory. Tell the world. Thank you, Jesus. I want to stand here and count your praise, and walk away and forget your name. I'll stand for you if it's all I do, cause there is none that compare to you. Cause all I want in this lifetime is you. All I want in this whole world is you. Tell the world that he died for them. Tell the world that he lives again. Oh Lord, thank you that you're there in us. No longer I, but Christ in me. Cause it's the truth that set me free.
How could this world be a better place? But by your mercy and by your grace, cause all I want in this lifetime is you. And all I want in this whole world is you. Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that
he died for them. Gregory, why don't you go ahead and
come
stop
on,
that.
Come on, we'll tell the world about you.
Sorry about that. I don't know why the technical glitch there, but may that be our prayer, that we'll tell the world about Jesus. Father, as we end this time together, I just thank you again. We were beggars, but someone came to us and offered us the water of life freely that you provide. And we said yes to you, and our lives have never been the same. So, Lord, we rejoice in that. And now, Lord, my prayer for us is that you would put such a burden on our heart for those around us. And, Lord, I just know that the Spirit is speaking to hearts now about a family member, about a neighbor, about a coworker. Someone in their lives that, Lord, you've already put them in that person's life. And that, God, you would open up those opportunities for us to tell people about you. And that, Lord, their hearts would be open and that they would come to know you and that there would be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous who do not need to repent. Because you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you love us so much. Be with us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.